This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawm Al-Din Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in Ihdina Al-Sirata Al-Mustaqim صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ثم ما بعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My dearest brothers and sisters, welcome to this third lesson now, the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha. We've got to just verse number 2, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We began last week speaking about Alhamdulillah. We said that the second verse, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, we can split it into two parts. Alhamdulillah and Rabbil Alameen. And today, inshallah, by the end of this lesson, we will have covered the entire verse, inshallah. So what did we say last week? We said, Alhamdulillah, the word hamd is a very deep, rich word in terms of its meaning. And basically, it has two main meanings. Anyone remember what those were? One is shukr, and the other one is? Thana. Very good, thana. Shukr means thanks, gratitude, and thana means praise. And we explained how those two things are very different. Sometimes you praise, and sometimes you thanks. You give thanks. Alhamd, okay, it comprises of both. And also, we did something else, which is what we'll start with. We spoke about the difference between a noun and a verb. We said there were two main differences. We said that as for the verb, it is caged by time. It happened in a particular tense, past, present or future. And it is doer dependent. So if I said read, you think to yourself, who read? Right? It's doer dependent. I have to say that there is someone doing that action. And when did they do it? Well, either done it in the past or the present or the future. As for noun, ism, it is timeless. It is timeless. Yeah. Reading, the idea of reading, it's not caged by time. It is not doer dependent. And based on that, we extracted a few lessons. One of them was that by saying Alhamdulillah, instead of saying, for example, Ahmadullah, I praise and thank Allah, or saying Nahmadullah, but instead saying Alhamdulillah, using the ism version, you got extra meaning. The meaning is stronger, because it means praise is always for Allah. Because ism is timeless, right? So it's timeless. It's always for Allah. We're here now, we praise Allah. But we weren't always here. What about when we were not here? What about when we will not be here? Doesn't Allah deserve praise and thanks then too? Yes, that is what Allah used, ism, or one of the wisdoms behind it. Now with that idea in mind, between ism being stronger and timeless, and verb being weaker and time-bound, if we could shine a light on the whole of Surah Al-Fatiha and see where the isms are and where the fi'ls are, where the nouns are and where the verbs are, you would see something like this. Okay? And I believe this is in your course notes as well, isn't it? And you see in your course notes? Is there? What page is it? 12. Page 12. Now, the words that are in black, they are ism, they are nouns. And the words that are in grey, they are verbs. Having a look at that, what do you notice straight away? Where do you find the verbs? In the first half or the second half? In the second half, right? You following me, brothers? Yeah, second half. What do we say about the verbs? What's the difference between the verb and the noun? Caged by time. And what does that mean exactly? It means that it's weaker. Yeah, it's weaker. And it's doer dependent. So the second half contains the verbs. The first half, any verbs in the first half? No verbs. Pure ism only. The interesting thing is this, subhanAllah. The first three verses, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, are speaking about who? Allah. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-ladhina amta alayhim, ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim al-dhalin. Is speaking about who? About creation. Us. What can we get from that? What is that telling you?
I don't know, based on what you said, we're weaker.
Yes, the weaker version of sentences is being used when creation is being spoken about. The stronger version is being used when speaking about Allah. What else do we know about an ism compared to a verb? An ism compared to a fi'l, it is time. Yes, time dependent and versus timeless. Which one is being used to speak about Allah? Words that are timeless. For Allah is eternal. As for creation, temporary. And look at the words, subhanAllah. It's beautiful, isn't it? And even the way Allah subhanAllah spoke about Surah Al-Fatiha in the hadith, which is Hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِسْفَيْن. Allah said, I split the salah, meaning Surah Al-Fatiha, between me and my slave. Half and half. Allahu Akbar. The first half is about Allah. But even the words that are chosen are words that are timeless. And the words that are chosen for the slaves are words that are temporary. Verbs. Interesting thing also is the verse in the middle. What's the middle verse? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Okay, we'll speak about obviously more when we get to it. It's half-half. Half ism, half verb, half fi'l. Can you see that? إِيَّاكَ is the ism. Iyaka again is the ism. Na'budu and nasta'in is the verb. You know what those words mean? Iyaka means you alone. Who is that talking about? Na'budu, we worship. Who's that talking about? Us. Which one is the verb? The one speaking about us. Which is the noun? The one speaking about Allah. Amazing. Yeah, amazing, subhanAllah. This is, yani, Surah Al-Fatiha is just like, has treasures inside it. Yeah, and the amazing thing is that in this lesson, what we will do, inshallah, is we will say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this. What is the alternative to saying the same thing in different words? And analyze those differences. And then come to the conclusion that the way Allah said it is the best way possible. Yeah, the best way possible. And the ability to do this to words is something you can really only do with the book of Allah. You can never analyze someone's speech to this level, can you? And to pick out things and to analyze, to cross-reference and to just go back and forth and pondering over. In fact, if you do that, for example, someone wrote you an email, a lengthy email, a personal one. You read it once and then you read it again. And then you ask yourself, like we're doing here, how comes they use these words here, they use those words here? Maybe the more you read it, the more mistakes you'll find. Oh, there's a grammar mistake there, so, or you forgot to use the capital letter there, etc., etc. True or not? The opposite with the Quran. The more you read, the more amazing it becomes. Yeah? And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do they not reflect over the Quran? Yeah? If you were, you would be able to see amazing things. May Allah make us from Ahlul Quran. Okay, so Alhamd. The first addition to what we studied last week is the following. We said Hamd comprises of two meanings. Shukr and Thana. Thanks and praise. There's more to it than this. There's two more meanings inside of Hamd. And that is the meaning of love. Love and veneration. When you say Alhamdulillah, you are expressing love and awe of the thing that you are praising. Okay, that is the first addition. The second addition is that you are praising out of your own free will, because you choose to. Interesting. What does that mean? Like, can you praise someone not out of choice? Does that happen? Give me some examples of when that happens. When someone praises another person, but not because they really want to. In politics. Okay, what do you mean by in politics? So this microphone is it fasting today? It's upset now. So no. Go ahead.
To gain a favor.
Okay. So to flatter. Yeah. So like the boss. Boss man.
Promotion.
You want a promotion, yeah. You start praising the boss man, yeah. You're praising, but it's not genuine praise. It's just flattery. Any other instances where you might praise someone?
How about Queen?
Sir? Okay, you praise the Queen in order to hopefully, you know, if you make her happy, she might give you something. Okay, same thing. Praising in order to flatter someone. Any other reasons why you might praise?
For a chocolate.
For a chocolate, Allahu Akbar. I don't know how to open this, Safi, man. If you can open this, you might get some chocolates. At the back there, and I'll come to you, Safi. Yes?
To get somewhere.
Sorry?
To get somewhere,
what do you mean?
To get something,
yeah, this is what the brother said.
Okay.
Yes, sorry, the brother here put his hand up. To be appreciated by the person you're praising, okay. Anything different? Yep. Ah, okay, very good. You can be compelled to praise, isn't it? I'll give you an example. Yeah, your wife, mashallah, she tried really hard to make you some good food. You know, ever since you went to your friend's house and you tasted his wife's biryani, you've been going on about that biryani ever since. And she said, you know, I can make the same, better. She brings the biryani. You taste the biryani. Biryani is good. It's not as good though. But khalas, yani, if you say that, she'll be upset with you. You feel compelled to praise the biryani. So the idea is that you can praise, but not out of choice. Yeah. And in Arabic, they actually have a word for that. The word for praising, which can be done not out of choice, is madh. What is it?
Madh.
Okay, madh. You have hamd and you got madh. If you praise someone out of choice, that would be the hamd version. If you praise someone not out of choice, either because you're trying to flatter them or you're compelled, that would be madh. Okay, so what do we say? We said two extra things: out of love and awe, and out of choice. Okay, out of choice. So this is hamd. Okay, this is hamd, that you are praising Allah, you're thanking Him because you genuinely want to, and you are expressing to Allah love and awe when you're saying that. Alhamdulillah. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never said, Ashukru lillah. Gratitude is to Allah. Thanks is to Allah. Even though the word hamd does have the meaning inside of it of thanking Allah. How is saying Alhamdulillah better than saying Ashukur lillah? How is saying hamd, which means praise and thanks is to Allah, better than just saying thanks is to due to Allah? What do you think, my brothers?
You're praising Allah.
You're praising Allah as well? Okay, very good. Yes, in the corner. Okay, very good. So the shukr, you might not be expressing love. That's more to do with madh. Madh instead of hamd, madh, you may be praising Allah, astaghfirullah, not because you really want to and out of love. But shukr is just about saying thanks. Okay, so the idea of saying thanks is not as good as saying hamd. Why? Why is it better? Yes. Okay. Okay, very good. The brother said you may thank many people, but you may not necessarily praise many people. Okay. You know, why do you say thank you to someone for? Appreciation of what? Do you say thank you for being intelligent to someone? Huh? Do you say thank you for
something they've done?
Exactly. Yeah, you say that's what he said, he says. MashaAllah. The brother said, you say thank you because someone did something for you. True or not? It's true. But the idea is that you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything He does for you. However, that is a little bit to do with you, isn't it? And to do with Allah too. It's to do with you and Allah. And it's more to do with what you gained from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you take yourself out of the equation and you want to say something just for Allah, about who Allah is, as well as what Allah does, then you need to say Alhamdulillah. Because if you just said Shukr Lillah, you're just talking about what Allah does. Do you get this? So if you say thank you, you can't say thank you for being powerful, thank you for being wise, thank you for being knowledgeable. You can't, it doesn't make sense, does it? So you want to say thank you and you want to praise Allah for what He does and who He is. His that as well as His af'al. And in order to capture that meaning, you have to use the word hamd. Alhamdulillah. Okay, another thing about the word alhamdulillah. Allah never said hamdun lillah. Allah said alhamdu. There is an alif lam. You know what the alif lam usually translates as? The. Okay. But in Arabic, it doesn't have to mean the. In this occasion, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said it's alif lam of istighraq. Istighraq means all encompassment. As if to say, every single type of praise you can imagine is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, that's what it means. Every single type of praise and thanks that you can imagine should be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the word Allah. We already mentioned the meaning of the word Allah. What do we say about it? We said this word Allah, it captures all of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember this? Yeah? All of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you think about that now, you want to praise, you want to make hamd of Allah. All types of hamd and thanks to Allah. But the thing is, if you use, for example, the name Al-Khaliq, what does Khaliq mean? The creator. And you said, Alhamdu lil Khaliq. That would mean all praise and thanks to the creator. Or you could say Al-Alim. Yeah? Alhamdu lil-Alim. All praise and thanks to the all knowledgeable. Right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never used any of those names. Allah used the name Allah. Why do you think that is? I mean, why is it better to use the name Allah than Khaliq or... No.
Appreciating importance.
Appreciating?
In attributes. No, it's not just one attribute.
Okay, that's very good. I have to give you something for that. That's very good. But, sorry, it's Mars. It's Mars. So, yes, it's close. He said, say it a bit louder, please.
Appreciating all his attributes.
Appreciating all of his attributes. Okay. Anyone else?
Encapsulates everything.
Encapsulates everything, okay. But Khaliq would be what then? If you said Alhamdulillah Khaliq, all praise and thanks to the Creator, what would be like the downside of using that name instead of using Allah?
So if you're just using the name Khaliq, you're just referring to the Creator.
Yes.
Whereas when you use Allah, it's more vast, it includes all his other attributes.
Okay, very good. I have to give that number. MashaAllah. You got a second chance ever. MashaAllah. You see, if you said Khaliq, then you're only praising and thanking Allah for being a creator, isn't it? What about being knowledgeable? What about being powerful? What about being merciful? What about? But if you wanted one word which refers to everything Allah is and everything He does, you're left with only one word in your vocabulary, and that is the word Allah. So that's why when you say Alhamdulillah, you are praising and thanking Allah for everything He is and everything He does. And that is why the phrase is so powerful. It's so powerful. And even I was thinking about, just reflecting how this is like the first statement that Allah, you know, uses in the Quran. Introduces the whole Quran and Allah Himself introducing Himself to mankind with the first phrase, Alhamdulillah. If this is the first verse of Surah Fatiha. And it's very positive. It's a very positive statement, isn't it? It's speaking about God being amazing, awesome, in every way you can possibly imagine. And also, you know, expressing our love of Allah and our appreciation of Allah. And that's very different to the way, you know, a lot of non-Muslims and a lot of atheists, you know, talk about Allah. It's actually the opposite. The way they talk about Allah, wal-'iyadu billah, is a vengeful, angry, hateful, wal-'iyadu billah, God. True or not? This is the way they talk about God. This is their mentality and attitude about God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, no, no. Allah, first of all, what you need to know, human beings, is that you need to thank Allah. You need to know how amazing He is. You need to love Allah. And who is Allah? He's the one that you all worship. The one that you turn to in desperation. It's a very positive statement. Okay, it's a very positive statement. And our first steps to Allah are steps of shukr, gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sorry, if you want to say something.
You said about the word Alhamdulillah, something that came to mind when I was reading when Allah gave Adam alayhi salam life.
Yes.
The first thing he done was sneeze, and this is the word that he used.
Ah, ahsan.
It came into my mind. So
very good, very good.
But he reminded me how beautiful the statement is.
No. So we find this statement, as the brother said, come up in many different places. And one of them is the hadith about Adam alayhi salam. When he was first created, when the ruh was blown into him, the first thing he did, he sneezed. And he said, Alhamdulillah. Okay. So that's quite amazing. I mean, that's the first thing that man ever said. Alhamdulillah. And in fact, you find it in many places. Okay. You find it in many places. You find it, for example, Nuh alayhi salam. When Nuh was saved from the flood, Allah said, وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي نَجَّانَا مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Yeah, in Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah told Nuh, and say, all praise and thanks is due to Allah, the one who saved us from the wrongdoing nation. Yeah, from the wrongdoing nation. You find it in so many places. You also, subhanAllah, find it, which is very amazing, that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, in a hadith in Sunan Ibn Majah, Shaykh Al-Bani rahimahullah said this hadith is authentic. She said, إِذَا رَأَى مَا يُحِبْ, if he saw something that he loved, he would say, Alhamdulillah. In fact, it's a long word, Alhamdulillah الَّذِي بِنِعْمَتِي تَتِمُّ الصَّالِحَاتِ. He would say, Alhamdulillah, if he saw something he liked and he loved. And then she said, وَإِذَا رَأَى مَا يُكْرَى or يَكْرَهُ, if he saw something he didn't like, meaning something bad happened in front of him or to him, what would he say? Anyone know? No, no, a'udhu billah. Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. He would say, Alhamdulillah, in every situation. Ala kulli hal. For every situation and moment in my life. So when he saw something good, he said, Alhamdulillah. And when he saw something bad, he said, Alhamdulillah as well. That's strange, no? But now when we appreciate the depth of Alhamdulillah, meaning two things, thanking and praising, we can now understand. When something good happens, you want to thank Allah. Say, Alhamdulillah. When something bad happens, you don't want to say thank you for the misfortune, but you still want to praise Allah for putting you in a difficult situation through which you could earn reward and be forgiven your sins. Isn't it? So you want to praise Allah. Because even the bad things that happen to us in our lives, my brothers, even the bad things that happen to us in our lives, they serve a purpose. Okay, they serve a purpose. And the purpose that they serve is in order for us to gain rewards, also to have sins forgiven and earn a higher rank in paradise. So even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this in the Quran, in Surah As-Sajda, وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ. Anyone know how this verse ends? أحسنت لعلهم يرجعون. Allah says, and surely you will make them taste the minor punishment before the major punishment, so that perhaps they will turn back. So that perhaps they will turn back to me and avoid the real punishment in the Akhirah. May Allah protect and preserve us all. So if you find yourself in a situation where, you know what, something bad is happening, maybe you had an accident, may Allah preserve us all, but something bad happens, you can still say Alhamdulillah, because the bad situation, you don't thank Allah for that, but you can praise Allah for that, isn't it? And that's why the Prophet ﷺ used to do that. Alhamdulillah in good times and in bad times, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Yeah, ala kulli hal. Now, the alternatives. What does the Khatib say when he stands on the minbar? The first thing he says is, Innal hamdalillah. That's different to Alhamdulillah, isn't it? You got the word inna placed in front. Inna means truly, surely. So the translation is truly and surely all praise and thanks is due to Allah. But inna is not there in Surah Fatiha. It's not there. Why not? What do you think? When the Khatib is saying it, or when the Prophet used to say it in the khutbah, he would say, surely praise and thanks is due to Allah. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it in Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah didn't say inna, surely. Allah just said, Alhamdulillah, all praise and thanks is to Allah. Are you following the question? Yeah. Yes, Akhi, you wanted to?
Because one is coming from khutbah, which is the word of man.
Okay.
Which is revelation. Uh-huh. So Allah doesn't put inna, He just says it.
Okay, good. So the one is, who's saying it? The first, or the one to say the words is man, creation. But the one to say Alhamdulillah is not creation, it's the creator, Allah. Good. But anything more than this? Yes. Yourself here. Yeah.
So two things really linking back to that one.
Yeah.
Allah doesn't have to say surely because His word is always the truth.
Okay. Very good.
Second of all, the khatib is he's making a reminder to the to people attending the khutbah. So surely this to be said as a reminder.
Okay.
Allah is saying in the first place.
Okay, maybe. This may be. Okay, this may be. Brothers at the back there, mashallah.
When the praise has to go to Allah, why does He have to mention it? Because the human has to mention it, give this praise to other humans.
Yeah.
You can learn from them and give the message to
them. Okay, very good. So you're managing to squeeze down your answers a bit more than last week. Very good, mashallah. The brothers already said it though. Anything else? Right. No, Asifa, yeah.
Alhamd is absolute. That's absolute. Allah's power. There's no surely, there's no could be, there's no can be.
Uh-huh.
It's absolute.
Okay, when you say what? In Alhamdulillah?
When you say Alhamdulillah, not when you say Inna.
No. When you say Inna, it adds certainty.
It's surely.
It adds a surely. It adds certainly, surely.
Allah doesn't have to add the surely.
It's yeah.
Absolute.
This is what the brother said. Yeah, this is what the brother said. Okay. You won't get it. You won't get it. Trust me. But this is good to reflect, because wallahi, the reflections are beneficial, and I want you all to be able to get into the habit of reflecting over the Quran as well. Okay, there are two ways. There are two types of sentences in Arabic. One is khabariya, and one is insha'iya. Khabariya means informational. Insha'iya means emotional. Okay. When you say inna alhamdulillah, it is khabariya, it is only informational. What that means is you're saying praise and thanks is due to Allah as a matter of fact. That's like a piece of information there. Okay. When you say alhamdulillah, it can be both khabariya and insha'iya, meaning it can also be an emotional statement. And the way you understand that is, you know, like you hear, for example, that somebody had a car crash. And you're like on the phone and they say, yeah, you didn't hear that he had a car crash, really bad car crash. And you're like, really, what happened? He goes, no, he's okay though. He didn't get harmed at all. What do you say? He didn't get harmed at all, Habibi. What would you say if he did get harmed? You'd say, Alhamdulillah. Yeah, the emotion. Yeah, emotional. Alhamdulillah. So it's not just a piece of information, it's an emotive type of statement. Okay? And that's amazing, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not just telling us all praise is due to me, as a matter of fact, He wants us to feel that Allah truly does deserve all praise and thanks. And in that there is a very basic lesson that Alhamdulillah in Surah Fatiha is teaching us, O people, say Alhamdulillah. Feel grateful to Allah. Yeah, feel that in your heart. Feel that in your heart when you say Alhamdulillah. Feel it. Have the emotion. And the two main emotions that come through in Alhamdulillah after shukr is the love, because we said it has the meaning of love, right? And also awe. You know this word awe, do you know what this word means? I use it a lot, but I don't know whether people... What's another word for awe that...
Reverence.
Again, reverence, yeah, very like, you know...
Amazement.
Amazement is closer, yeah. Amazement. Yeah? Mesmerized, yeah. Bewilderment. All of these are similar words, okay? But those are the type of feelings that are encapsulated in Alhamdulillah. Okay, so one alternative is say in Alhamdulillah. But it's not as good as Alhamdulillah. Why? Because Alhamdulillah has the emotional aspect to it. Okay? There's another alternative as well. And that is لِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ. Have you heard this? Yeah? وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ. لِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ is to say, for Allah is praise and thanks. As opposed to saying, praise and thanks is for Allah. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never said in Surah Fatiha, لِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ. Allah said, Alhamdulillah. Any takers on this one? What do you think? Like, how comes... Okay, I'll give you a little hint as well. When you say, لِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ, okay, the idea is... you are negating and you are refuting someone who kind of disagrees with you. Do you get that? Someone or some people, they are saying something against what you are saying. In order to clarify, you say the statement in a way that's refuting what they are saying and then affirming what you are saying. Yeah? So when you say لِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ, it's like people are there, they're saying hamd yani for Allah, other people as well, wal-iyad, but maybe idols, for example. And then you want to clarify to those people. The way you clarify it is you'd say, no, لِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ. Yeah, لِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ. And when I've just explained that to you, I've actually given you the answer there as well. The answer is that لِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ is for refuting and for negating. And Surah Fatiha, it's only Allah speaking. The surah is only Allah speaking. Allah doesn't tell us anybody else talking and saying other things. Now, where you find لِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ, for example, is Surah Al-Jathiyah. Al-Jathiyah, the whole surah is about a debate between mushrikun. The mushrikun of Makkah, what would they do? They would worship idols. And they would, you know, give hamd to Allah as well as to idols. So it makes sense there to use the which one? Alhamdulillah or Lillahi alhamd? Lillahi alhamd. That's why you find the verse, فَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَرَبُّ الْأَرْضِ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ أحسنت. Yeah. So there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used Lillahi alhamd. Why? Because it's the context, okay, necessitates that that's the better one to choose. As for Surah Fatiha, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking. And there's no one there who you are refuting or negating. So that's why it is better say Alhamdulillah in Surah Fatiha. Yes. Al-Jathiyah. Surah Al-Jathiyah, verse number 36. Okay. The last point for Alhamdulillah is just the lam in Allah. The word Allah has a lam. Lillah. Alhamdulillah. This lam, they say, is for ikhtisas, which means especially or specifically. So alhamd, praise and thanks is especially or ultimately for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's quite interesting, because do you find anywhere in the Quran where Allah gives hamd to anyone else? Or tells you that somebody else in your life deserves hamd as well? Any verse in the Quran where hamd is being given to anyone other than Allah? So is that? What about shukr? Is shukr, are we told in the Quran to give shukr to anyone other than Allah? Parents, very good. Anyone know the surah where you're told to give shukr to your parents? Surah Baqarah, no. Bir, you're told to give to your parents. Yes. No, this surah to Isra. It's not shukr though. Isra, no, it's not Surah Isra. Surah Isra has the verse about parents, but the verses regarding shukr to your parents is in Surah Luqman. Yeah, Surah Luqman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَعْضَ مَذَا حَمَلَتُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالَهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ. Allah says about the mother, look at her. She carried you from one stage of weakness to another, and then she breastfed you for 2 years. Give shukr to me and to both of your parents. Yeah? Give shukr to me and both of your parents. No, alhamd. Why is that? Because even parents, though they do so much for the children, at the end of the day, they do not deserve ultimate praise. They don't. Because parents sometimes can be good parents, but bad people. True or not? Yeah. Any example of a parent in the Quran who's a bad parent? Who's like really bad parent? A bad father?
Oh, Ibrahim.
Yes. Ibrahim alayhi salam's father, Azar. Yeah, he used to run a big company making idols, man. The guy was director of a big shit company. Yeah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if Allah jalla wa ala said, give hamd to your parents, then Ibrahim alayhi salam would be giving hamd to his dad. That's not possible. You can give him shukr because of the things he does for you, but you can't give him hamd because he's a bad person. Does that make sense? So what is amazing in the Quran, you never find hamd given to anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Though shukr is given to other than Allah, and that is our parents. Okay. Now we will have a peer activity. If you look on the board here, on the slide rather. Is this in the course notes?
Yeah.
Is it there?
Yeah.
What page is it?
13.
Can I see it from here? Yes, okay. So it says, this is going to be a peer activity. If Alhamdulillah is calling us to be grateful to Allah, then there's so many things to be grateful for, right? But if you had to think of 5 things which you feel are the top 5 things in your life to say thank you to Allah for, what would they be? Make sense? You have to choose five. And the interesting thing is that after you tell me what your 5 are, Imam At-Tabari rahimahullah also lists 5 in his tafsir. We will compare, okay, what Imam At-Tabari rahimahullah said and what came to your mind, inshallah. So you got 2 minutes, okay? You need to think about the 5 top things, not just 5 things, the 5 top things, which you should be saying thank you to Allah in every time you say Alhamdulillah. Your time starts now. Everyone should be talking to somebody else. Please turn to the person next to you. They are alive, inshallah. They will talk to you if you talk to them. One minute remaining. Thirty seconds left, and then I'll just choose some pairs at random, people behind the pillar that I can't see. Okay, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, we have someone on the right hand side. Let's have you two guys there, at the back here. Yeah. Okay, for life, for your senses, okay. For parents, okay, mashallah. Are your parents around? Oh, mashallah. Who else? For food. Okay. That's four, yeah? Does it end at food? You said the senses. So having parents and Muslim parents. Oh, okay, very good. You two brothers there. Asad bhai and Yoke. Okay. Life, belief, health. What's that? Okay, just give me five, inshallah. Wealth?
No.
Children/parents. Okay, mashallah. Anyone have something slightly different? Yes. For what?
Health,
education, family. Okay, friends. Okay, exactly. I really want to get to a place, isn't it? Look, anyone have something different now? You heard what the brother said, yes?
Being able to worship Allah.
The ability to worship Allah.
Yes.
Okay. That's good. Yes, Akhi. Are you a pair?
Yeah.
Yep.
The implementation of different if the important was born, but then you get guidance where you have the love for
it. Okay. Having the ability to the love and the want to implement the guidance. Okay, very good. Brothers, have a look at this. Here are the five things that Imam At-Tabari rahimahullah mentioned in his tafsir. Okay. Number one, he said the tools and resources that facilitate our worship of him. That's number one. Number two, our well-formed bodies, which have limbs by which we can carry out our obligatory religious duties. Number three, for the worldly provisions, riches, he spread throughout the earth. Number four, for providing us with a pleasant environment in which to live in, which we ourselves did not need to create. Number five, for calling us to adhere to ways that will secure for us an everlasting life of bliss. And so for our master is hamd for all that and more from the first to the last. SubhanAllah. What is amazing about the five things that Imam At-Tabari rahimahullah has mentioned is that out of the five, four of them are all to do with religion. Four of them are all to do with religion. True or not? Yeah, the first one, tools and resources to facilitate our worship of Allah, about religion. Our well-formed bodies and limbs in order to carry out the fara'id, obligatory duties, that's about religion. Number three, about worldly provision, the riches spread throughout the world. That one you, okay, maybe not religion. Number four, providing us a pleasant environment to live in our lives we do not need to create. Maybe actually that one might not be religion. For calling us to adhere to ways that will secure for us an everlasting life of bliss. So that's another one, explicitly about religion. What's that telling us? That's telling us, my brothers and sisters, that the things that we need to thank Allah more for are not about worldly things, rather the things to do with the akhirah, the life to come. Why? Because the life to come is the real life. Even if you never had nothing in this life, but you get everything in the hereafter, you got everything, isn't it? And what will get you to the hereafter and in Jannah is what? Your religion, your guidance. Yeah. And so it makes sense that the first thing you thank Allah for is what? Religion, guidance. Okay? And this is one of the things we should always be thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would tell us to say, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala dinik. Yeah? O turner of hearts, turn our hearts and make them firm to what? Upon your religion. That is the dua the Prophet ﷺ would say very frequently. And that's the Prophet ﷺ saying this dua. The Prophet of Allah is telling Allah, please keep me firm on your religion. What then about us? Yeah, what then about us? So it means that, you know, the main thing we need to make shukr for is our religion. Okay, the second part of Alhamdulillah is this verse, Rabbil Alameen. There's two words here, Rabb and Alameen. The word Rabb, my brothers, we'll do this as an exercise now. It has five root meanings. The word Rabb, which translates as Lord sometimes, as Master sometimes, has five root meanings. Okay, five root meanings. And when I say each root word and I explain it, I want you then to tell me, what does that mean for to you and to creation in general? What does that mean? If Allah is this, what does that say about me? Does that make sense? Okay. So, list the five first. The five root meanings are, number one, Malik, owner. Number two, Sayyid, master. Number three, Murabbi, nurturer. Number four, Qayyim, sustainer. And number five, Mun'im, the one who gives gifts. Okay, so the first is what?
Malik.
Malik, yeah? Malik means owner. Allah, when we say Rabb, we are referring to Allah. One of the things is that Allah owns everything. In the absolute sense, He owns every atom in every single thing that we see around us, including ourselves. Allah owns it all. He's a Malik. So what does that say about me and you?
We don't own anything.
Ahsant. Akhi, you have to get something for that one. That was a good one. MashaAllah. Milky Way. Allahu Akbar. He said, say it a bit louder, please. Say it a bit louder, that answer. If Allah is the Malik, the owner, what does that mean?
We don't own anything.
It means that we don't own anything. True or not? If Allah is the real owner, then the things I have in my life, I may own them on paper, but the reality is that Allah is the true owner of everything. Even myself. You know, a lot of people don't appreciate this. When we talk about, when you talk about tattooing the body, for example, you know, tattooing is such a big trend now. Everyone has a tattoo. Yeah, it's such a huge trend. And the ajeeb thing is that I heard a documentary about these people. They're called tattoo addicts. Okay. The weird thing is that a lot of these people, when they get one tattoo, what do they want to do next? They're going to get another tattoo. Until their whole body is covered. And it's very painful getting a tattoo. Yeah, very painful. Until their face, they cover it with a tattoo. You just think, it just looks creepy. It just looks weird. And they said that there's an addiction behind it. The addiction, the psychology is that the ability to change the way you look permanently is an addictive feeling. Yeah, it's an addictive feeling. And they wish to continue doing that until they ruin their whole body. But when you say, look, these things, you shouldn't do them, they're haram. Part of the reason why they're haram is because you don't own your body. It's the property of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot treat your body in any way you wish. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Allah. Rabb, one of the first meanings is Malik. Okay? Anything else? What does that mean? If Allah is the owner, it means you don't own anything. It means you yourself don't own anything. It means you yourself are owned by Allah. Anything else? Anything different? You don't? You haven't done anything to own something? Ah, okay. So even your success in your life is not something that you produced. Rather, it's the property of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, very good. That's very good. Because then, obviously, that makes you feel humble, right? That makes you feel humble. You've got to give these answers, mashallah, really good. Allahu Akbar. Yes, okay. We've got 5 to go, by the way, so. Malik, we're done. Next one was? Sayyid. Sayyid means master. Okay. You know, like in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, the Aziz was known as the Sayyid. Yeah. When they both ran to the door, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابَ وَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابَ وَقَدَّتْ قَمِيس yeah, مِنْ دُبُرٍ وَأَلْفَيَا سَيِّدَهَا لَدَ الْبَابَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, so when they both ran to the door, Yusuf alayhi salam running in order to avoid falling into zina, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, Allah said, they came to the door, and what do you know? Who do they find at the door? Her Sayyid, her master. Okay, her master. Even though he was the master of Yusuf alayhi salam, because she was the one who's guilty, he was more like her master in that moment. So the word Sayyid means master. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the master. By the way, At-Tabari rahimahullah said the main, one of the main meanings from these meanings is Sayyid. Sayyid is one of the primary meanings of Rabb, master. So what does that mean then, brothers? If Allah is the master, what does that mean? It means that we are the slaves. Allahu Akbar. It means that we are the slaves. If Allah is the master, then everything else, including us, we are all slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here, there is the link between this verse and the verse that comes later. Which verse that comes later? Which verse that comes later in Surah Fatiha is a link to this verse? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. You alone do we worship. And نَعْبُدُ can mean we enslave ourselves to. Okay, in ibadah and being an abd. Okay, we'll come to that meaning inshallah. But there we are talking about being Allah's slaves. But that's after hearing what? That Allah is the master. Yeah. Do you see how it beautifully paves the way in order for us to come to the realization that, hang on a minute, if Allah is the master, then we are Allah's slaves. Yeah. Very good. So, number two, Sayyid, master. Number three is? Number three was? Murabbi. Yeah. Murabbi. Murabbi means the one who takes care of something. The one who takes care of something. What's the dua that you're supposed to say for your parents? رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Yeah? رَبَّيَانِي. The same word of tarbiya, murabbi. You're saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that forgive them. One of the reasons why you're asking Allah to forgive them and to show mercy to them is because they brought you up. They took care of you. Yeah? They raised you up. So the same word is being used there. Allah is the Murabbi, the one who takes care of us. Yeah, the one who makes us grow. Yeah, this is literally what it means. Insha, to make something grow. And that's amazing. Because if you look at the first three together, right? Owner, master, and the one who makes something grow. Sometimes what you find is people that own things, they don't necessarily look after them. True or not? Someone can have a fantastic car, but when you sit in the brother's car, you think, MashaAllah, what's going on here? It's never been hoovered ever. You're not taking care of your car, even though it's an amazing car and you own it. Okay? So, a Malik doesn't necessarily mean he's a Murabbi. Yeah? And also, a Sayyid, the master. Okay? The one who's the master of a slave doesn't necessarily mean he looks after the slave, does it? Most of the time, if you think about slavery, the master doesn't take care of the slave. The master abuses the slave.
Yeah, abuses the slave, neglects the slave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I'm the master and I'm the murabbi. Yeah, I'm the one that makes things grow and the one who takes care of them. Okay, so what does that mean to me and you then? What do you think?
That we should praise and thank Him.
Okay, very good. That we should praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He's the one who takes care of us. Okay, the one who takes care of us. And the brother there, Allahu Akbar, just found the link between the first half and the second half of Surah the first verse. Because if Allah is the Murabbi, the one who takes care of us, we should be thanking Allah, isn't it? And that has already come in the first part. Alhamdulillah. We thank you and praise you, Allah. And one of the reasons we do that is because you're our Murabbi. You're the one who makes us grow. Okay? Actually, you got to get someone for that. Inshallah. Inshallah. Bismillah. Tayyib. So, this is which name now? We had Malik, we had Sayyid, we had Murabbi. What's left? Two more. Mun'im, or do we say Qayyim first? Qayyim first. Qayyim, we said sustainer. Sustainer is the one who keeps something going, keeps something alive. Okay? And you have to really appreciate that, subhanAllah. If Allah is Qayyim and Qayyum, as we have in Ayatul Kursi, then it means that Allah is keeping us alive and well in every single moment of our life. Imagine one moment where Allah stopped being Qayyum. What would happen to us? We'd be destroyed. We'd literally disappear into nothingness. Allah is Qayyim, keeping us alive and well. Okay, keeping us alive and well. And what is amazing about that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need to do that. Allah gets nothing from us being alive and well. And again, you have to appreciate all these things together. The fact is, someone can own something, right, and it needs to be taken care of all the time. Like someone who has a pet. Okay, my brother recently bought a turtle. Okay, a turtle. And then, I said, turtle. He said, yeah, I like the turtle. And then he's going on holiday. What's he thinking? Who's going to look after the turtle? Yeah? No, not me. actually, yeah, it was my sister. Yeah. So, he said, he brought the turtle. He said, look, I'm going away. You have to feed it every single day. If you don't feed it, it will die. So someone who owns something and wants to take care of it may not be able to take care of it, isn't it? And if they don't, khalas, that thing is going to perish. Allah is qayyim, always keeping us alive and keeping us well, okay, sustaining us. So that is the fourth thing. And again, any thoughts on this? Like, what would that mean to you now, knowing that Allah is qayyim? Yes. Okay, very good. So Allah is independent of all of these, yeah? Okay, very good. Anything else? Yes, Sahih.
So it's praise and thanks and thank Him for keeping us alive.
Okay, again, what the brother said.
And also, it shows He has total control over us, it shows His power.
Okay. So knowing that Allah is Qayyim, it builds an appreciation of His power, that He's keeping everything as it is. You know, subhanAllah, I was just reflecting even over the orbiting of the sun around its galactic star. And what I found out is that the sun orbits its own star at the center of the Milky Way. And the speed of that orbit is something in the region of, I'm not 100% sure, something like 22,000 miles per hour. Something in that region. Check it out. I was thinking to myself, Allahu Akbar, that sun, even though we don't see it moving that fast, is actually moving that fast since it was created. At that speed. It's even unimaginable, that speed. Who is doing that? Allah. And that is this one of the smallest stars in the galaxy. The smallest star. Our sun is one of the smallest stars in the galaxy. SubhanAllah. Qayyim. Yeah? Qayyim. Huh? Is it 45,000 miles an hour? Allahu Akbar. Yeah, twice as much. Tayyib. Okay. Last one is Mun'im. The one who gives gifts. The one who gives gifts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's another root meaning of the word Rabb. Allah doesn't just own, He doesn't just take care, He doesn't just sustain, He gives more than that. He gives you gifts. He gives you gifts. And this, subhanAllah, already we are appreciating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in so many different ways based on just one word, Rabb. Okay? And one of the beautiful things about the word Rabb is that it's a word that necessitates a relationship with something else. Isn't it? If Allah said He is Al-Alim, yeah, He is the All-Knower, or knows Al-Alameen, He knows Alameen, that doesn't necessarily necessitate a relationship with anyone else, does it? If you said someone's intelligent, doesn't necessarily necessitate that it has a relationship with another person, it's just him, by himself. But if you said someone is loving, you're thinking there's someone else out there who is being the recipient of the love, isn't it? When you say Allah is the Rabb, you're already thinking, hang on a minute, that means there are things out there that He owns, things out there He's taking care of, things that He is gifting. Yeah? So Allah is describing Himself to us with words that will reach out to us and make that relationship with Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's amazing. And the last word is alameen. Alameen, my brothers and sisters, is a plural. The singular version is alam. And there's two views about the word alam. What does it mean? The first view is that alam means race or species of different generations. Different species like human beings. What other species are there? Jinn kind, other species? Angels, right? And those are different species, as well as the different generations within those species. So human beings on earth now, and before the generation, and the generation before, and all the generations to come. Alam, okay, that's what it means, according to the first view. The second view is that it means everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is saying He is the Rabb of either all species of all generations and all the generations, or He is the Rabb of everything that exists beside Him. Okay, everything that exists beside Him. So, Rabbil Alameen, the master of jinn, of man, of angels, the one who takes care of them, the one who is their master, the one who gives them gifts, etc., etc., etc. That is the way you reflect of it. The interesting thing also about the word alam is that it has another root, which is alama. And alama means sign. And some of the scholars, they said that the meaning of alam referring to everything besides creation, besides Allah, and the root word of sign is that the fact that there is things in existence is a sign pointing towards the presence of a creator. Did you get this? That if the word alameen comes from the root of alama, which means sign, then the fact that there is alameen is a sign that there is a Rabb, that there is a creator. Okay? This is sensible. This is just logical. Things don't come out of nothing, out of lucky chance, which is what some people would have us believe. So this is Rabbul Alameen. Okay? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Now there's two spiritual lessons which I want to for you to make a note of, inshallah. And we'll come to the end of this dars. The first is the role of shukr in our lives. You have to understand that Allah, the first thing Allah spoke about is shukr, which really does show us how much Allah values a person who appreciates Allah, isn't it? If that's the first thing Allah spoke about, shukr and thana, it means Allah loves people that are grateful to Him. and people that praise Him. And that means we should try our very best to be as grateful to Allah as possible. And the way you be grateful to Allah is you reflect over the good things you have in your life. And every time you think of them, you feel, Allah, thank you for that. Okay? And it's an exercise you have to continuously do. The second is this Rabbul Alameen actually has a refutation of racism inside of it. You know how? Because we are being told Allah is the master of all races, of all species. Black people, white people, Asian people. All those races, they are the same in that they are all slaves of the master. There is the master, and then there are the slaves. Doesn't matter what species or race you are, at the end of the day, you're all the same before Allah. You're all Allah's slaves. And if you really understood that, you wouldn't really say someone is certain color, therefore they are better or worse than me. Rather, they're another race, and Allah says, Rabbul Alameen, He's the master of all races. And means all races are at the end of the day slaves to Allah. Yeah, we are all slaves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyhow, these are two spiritual lessons, and we will conclude it here. We'll take this question now. Hadha wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Barakallahu fikum, jazakumullahu khairan. 5 minutes for questions. Anyone needs to leave, they can leave inshaAllah.
ويل للمطففين الذين إذا اكتالوا على الناس يستوفون وإذا كالوهم أو وزنوهم يخسرون ألا يظن أولئك أنهم مبعوثون ليوم عظيم يوم يقوم الناس لرب العالمين كلا إن كتاب الفجار لفي سجين وما أدراك ما سجين كتاب مرقوم ويل يومئذ للمكذبين الذين يكذبون بيوم الدين وما يكذب به إلا كل معتد أثيم إذا تتلى عليه آياتنا قال أساطير الأولين كلا بل ران على قلوبهم ما كانوا يكسبون كلا إنهم عن ربهم يومئذ لمحجوبون ثم إنهم لصالوا الجحيم ثم يقال هذا الذي كنتم به تكذبون الله أكبر